Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the Rooted Podcast after another short-ish break. You know how I roll. Some seasons I'm pushing out episodes left and right because I just have so much to share. And, you know, other seasons are quiet, but I'm going through a major transformation emotionally and mentally as far as my spirituality goes. And I've just been doing so much work around this and working with my dear friend, Katie Sirbeck, who's been on the podcast and whose episode is really, really powerful and vulnerable. If you want to sneak in a listen after this, I'll throw it in the show notes. But anyway, she's been mentoring me actually to help me tap back into my own intuition and to regain self-trust and body autonomy since, well, I mean, IVF can really take that from you very quickly. So all that to say, this is a season of not only sharing, but like deep, deep vulnerability and just really wanting to place all of the life lessons that I've been learning and I'm still learning here to the podcast and to be able to share them with all of you. So if you're new here, I'm so grateful to have you and welcome. There's an array of episodes for you to dig into if you want to play catch up a bit and see what the show is all about. But to sum it up for you, it really celebrates just being human as a whole, right? Like the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard, the beautiful, the messy middles. Relatability and vulnerability, two of my most crucial values, are at the forefront, and just really being able to relate with other humans with the hope of reminding them, you, that you're never alone, like ever, truly. And within vulnerability, it's been such a profound experience for me to show up fully and unapologetically, no longer searching for validation or people pleasing. And within that state, I've realized how much more I crack wide open when I'm sharing the lessons that I've learned and the experiences that I've had, like without any hesitation, in hopes of being able to help whomever is listening or might need the message. And here's the thing too, if you're familiar with human design, I'm a 3-6 projector and I'm literally meant to reflect my experiences and let them land where they're meant to. That's it. And the 3-6 part, this is the craziest thing to me. I'm not a 3-6, I'm a 3-5. This is the craziest thing to me because it's defined me since I was a child. So I'm meant to experiment and sometimes succeed and sometimes fail and then share the lesson and the journey that was found within that experiment. So this is why I've always followed almost every ping. I've always had to touch the fire to know that it's hot and be like, yeah, they were right. It's hot. Or you know what? It actually wasn't that hot. Or here's what I do differently. It feels stifling if I don't. It feels like I'm disserving myself if I don't. Or if I listen to someone else's opinion that doesn't match my own. You can literally watch the light within me dwindle. It can be a really dark trap for me to not listen to my own intuition and to follow the light of others instead of myself. So I have to be really careful about that. And that's really been the place that I feel like I found myself in over the last couple of years. I haven't been unhappy per se. I have a lot to be grateful for and a lot to be happy about, but I also have been living my life, I don't know, just sort of outside of myself. I haven't been living my life for me in the most authentic way. I've dimmed my light a bit out of fear for what others might think. I've lived this pattern before, and I'm so grateful that I caught myself once again and that I have the self-awareness to say, you know, hey, okay, that's enough now. And to know when it's getting a bit dangerous and a bit murky, and then I start to like disassociate from my inner self. So with that being said, I wanted to talk about spring cleaning because spring is upon us as it relates to our mind, body, and soul, because this is so much of the work that I've been doing within my own life over the last month or so. And it's been really healing and really freeing to like clear the shit. To make space for what matters and what feels good and doing it for me and only me. Only me. A selfish spring. Can you believe it? And that's felt really good. So with that being said, let's jump into how you can spring clean your life, mind, body, and soul And as always, this is my experience, so take what works and leave the rest, or add in some of your own gold nuggets because you know you better than anyone else. So let's start with the mind. I don't know about you, but so much shit lives here that at times it can be so overwhelming. And meditation just isn't the way out of this clutter for me anyway. It's not like the one magic piece. I know that people swear by it. Meditation is amazing. So many different kinds. It's not a one size fits all. So that's my hot take on that. I've been reading, I think it's Louise. I'm going to say Louise. I've been reading Louise Hay like it's my job these last couple of months. If you follow me on Instagram, you're like, yeah, I know, we get it. I'm posting about her like every 2 seconds. She is incredible. She's playing such a huge part in my own personal healing journey. And what I love about her is how straightforward her messaging and her lessons are. It's so digestible and attainable. I usually read her books all the way through, and then I'll go back and then I'll read them again and implement the written exercises that she has. I'm not great at doing exercises the first time around when it's in a book, since I feel like I need to get like a full grasp on the book and what it's there to teach me. And so I found it helpful to do it that way, to read it all the way through and then go back and do the exercises. But anyway, I'm bringing her up because in her book that I'm just about finished with called You Can Heal Your Life, she talks about cleaning out your mental closet. And she makes this analogy that literally had me being like, whoa, holy shit. So simple. But she says, you wouldn't go digging in your trash to make tonight's dinner. Do you dig into old mental garbage to create today's experiences? Like literally blew my mind. It's such a tangible analogy that for me, visualization is so powerful. So if I can actually like picture myself going into a trash can and picking out like old mental traumas or old experiences that didn't serve me and being like, yes, this is what I'm going to have today. Like I just wouldn't do that. So it's a really cool like black and white way to help decision paralysis or when you're feeling overwhelmed. So with that in mind, I sat down to write through all of the mental stuff that's been holding me back, the limiting beliefs, big and small, the thoughts that are taking up space that just really don't need to be here, mostly, you know, all of the shoulds, other people's opinions that have nothing to do with me, where it is that I try and get, where I try and like people please the most in my life. And I got to work. I'm still doing the work, by the way. And for me, getting things out of my head and onto paper or saying them out loud, God bless the fact that podcast exists, is the best way for me to integrate any real change. It quite literally for me feels like it's exiting my body and losing power over me the minute the ink hits the paper or my voice hits the air. So if you're like me and you're seriously ready to release some mental clutter, I would advise that you start slow, but with a big kick, meaning make your intentions super clear, but you don't have to bite off more than you can chew right now in this moment. You do not have to fix everything. So for me, I'm starting with my limiting beliefs because these are what hold me back the most in my day-to-day life and what bring up the most anxiety and resistance around doing the things that I feel called to do. So for you, maybe it means that you need to start saying no more or putting yourself before other people and not thinking about it another second. I think they're calling that the DGAF era, like the don't give a fuck era. So many eras floating around right now on the internet, I swear. What era would we even call what I'm existing in right now? My healing anxiety, childhood trauma, panic, and people-pleasing area? Yeah, that sounds casual. Okay, let's move on to the body. So I'm not here to talk about losing weight. In fact, I'm quite over that topic as a whole for myself personally. I can't make that decision for you, but what I will say is that somehow along the way, I've made peace with the way that I look. I've never been at war per se with my physical self, but I've certainly had waves of like, shouldn't I be smaller? Or I can't wear that. That sucks. Or I'm so curvy, blah, blah, blah. You get it. I think that most women can relate in one way or another to the fact that there's always something that we wish we could change. So for the sake of today, instead of talking about the physical, what I really want to focus on within the spring cleaning is as it relates to our bodily autonomy. You're going to hear me talk about this quite a bit on the podcast because it's another thing that I'm really working on healing and reconnecting with. because, you know, to be totally transparent, being an IVF patient for the last, you know, year and a half or so has taken a huge toll, not just on my emotional mind and spirit, but my physical body and my ability to feel tapped into it. So I'm not even talking about like the physical aspects, like the shots and all the hormones and stuff like that, but the ability to feel tapped into my body, especially when I've never had any clinical or cyclical problems or fertility problems in the past. All of a sudden I have this clinic that we were originally working with telling me that this transfer is canceled because of X, or this transfer is canceled because of Y, or this didn't work because of Z. And you can only hear this so many times before you're like, oh wow, maybe I am broken. Maybe I am the problem. Maybe I don't know my body as well as I thought I did. Especially when we had been given, you know, the proof that we were in IVF because of my husband's previous cancer, making it more difficult to conceive. So here I am like blindsided being told by a doctor that like essentially I'm the problem. And I found myself just completely doubting my body and my intuition, even though on a soul level, I knew that this one doctor's opinion wasn't sitting well with me. There was like something that was making me contract so bad. But when you're so eager to start a family, it's almost like this desperation comes over and you're like, okay, whatever you say, I'll do. So Jonathan agreed that like something was off, and that's why we moved on to a different clinic. And wouldn't you know it, when she reviewed our 456 pages of records from our last clinic, she was like, I really don't see the problem here. You're healthy. X, Y, and Z shouldn't have even been a factor. I mean, it's just a total mindfuck. One day I will get into the nitty-gritty of our IVF experience and how that turned into pure trauma. I'm going to start a series called What They Don't Tell You, and this will probably be my first episode all around IVF. Just as a means to like prepare and dismantle any BS and limiting beliefs before they can get to you. If you're either preparing to embark on the IVF journey, know somebody who is, just to better understand and support them, or maybe you already have and you too are just a teeny tiny bit fucked up because of it. So all that to say, I went a bit on a tangent here, but all that to say, bodily autonomy is one of the most sacred relationships that we have. Like our ability to trust, to know and to understand our bodies and what they need as well as what they don't need is imperative for living a healthy, happy life. So like, it's no wonder that depression and anxiety knocked me sideways for so long. I completely disassociated from my own body and told myself that, you know, the doctors knew me better than I knew myself. It's really easy to do that. It's like you blink and you're like, whoa, I don't belong to myself anymore. And if I could do it all over again, here's what I do to obtain my own autonomy within my body. And this isn't just within IVF. This is with anyone who's giving an opinion on my body, on your body, how it's functioning. You can do this with yourself as you better try and understand, relate, or reconnect with your body. So I'd ask why more often. Like, why do you think that? Why would you have me do that? Again, this could be to a doctor. This could be to a therapist. This could be to yourself. I'd ask what more often. What do you think is causing this? What makes you believe that to be true? What proof do you have? What is it that you need? What is it that you don't need? What are the risks? What are the rewards? Two very good ones that we often leave out. I'd ask where more often. And this sort of relates more to tapping into yourself, asking yourselves these questions. But where do you feel it? And where do you think it stemmed from? Like, where's the root of it? The best practice that I've ever been taught, that I sadly completely shut out of a majority of our journey with our doctors and the beginning of losing my own bodily autonomy, was listening to what they had to say and then listening to how my body was responding to it. So as I mentioned, that came way later in the game before we decided to leave our clinic, when I was like really contracting. But it's the tried and true like expand and contract method that I usually love and stand by for everything. So when someone says something, asks something, or invites you to something, do you expand within your body or do you contract? Is it a full body yes? Because if it's not a full body yes, there's something in there for you to dig into. It's really very simple. The body doesn't lie. We just need to be able to just sit with her more intimately, right? And more often to remember that we have all of the answers, even if they feel like they're in an abyss, right? Of the giant unknown. We know. We've always known. It just takes practice, and I too am working on getting back there, but it does feel good to even just be trying. Okay, so moving on to the soul, my favorite, the golden nugget, and in my opinion, the most sacred and important piece. And I get that maybe this isn't for everyone, but just a loving newsflash, we all have a soul. That's what compiles your personality, your drive, your intentions, your desires. We all know, it's no secret, that I'm more woo-woo than most. And hey, you know what? I love that about myself. I don't apologize. But the word soul doesn't necessarily mean tarot cards and crystals and psychic readings. I think most of you know that, but just wanted to take a moment to dismantle some stigmas. So clearing out the soul clutter is really delicious work, in my opinion. I actually thoroughly enjoy it because I think it's so powerful and incredibly attainable, and it's not that difficult to do. And the results are just through the roof. I mean, you can quite literally feel lighter in your body when you clear the shit from your soul almost immediately. Okay, so how? Personally, we're back to journaling again, but I love to make a list of my ideal life. What does it look like, smell like, taste like, feel like? Channel all of the five senses and get really honest with myself. And when you do this, just like leave vanity behind. Don't even think about the vanity piece. So I'm not talking about having like a huge house with archways. I feel like I'm always talking about archways in a house. If you follow me on Instagram, you also know this. I'm talking about like the connection piece, like access to nature, simplicity and rhythm, playful and inviting, sacred boundaries that are respected, being able to speak my truth to whomever without fear of being judged, tight hugs, open windows and fresh air. So you get the gist. But by listing out without reservation or holding back, you can really start to see this pattern of what your soul is craving for you and what it innately wants, rather than your external self or your ego, for lack of better words. So screw what you think you should have or want, right? Get familiar with what your inner being actually wants. And things like Pinterest and Instagram and TikTok make it feel literally impossible sometimes to separate your wants and likes from what the outside world is telling you is on trend and is gorgeous and is healthy. Trust me, I get it. Having to dissect whether or not I saw that on Pinterest and that's why I think I love it is the work. That's the work. It's getting back to center, back to the root of who it is that we're meant to be and who we were before the world told us who we should become, what we should like. So writing these things out with like total reckless abandon is so helpful. You can always go back over the list too and scratch things out as you let them sink in, because it's a definite possibility as you revisit, you'll be like, wait, that is not actually true, or that's not actually mine. Totally normal. Another thing is getting out into nature. Cliche, yes, but hear me out. I don't know if I define myself as a nature enthusiast. Actually, I wouldn't. And as shitty as it sounds, I don't really care much about like what type of flower that is or what tree that is. But I do appreciate the beauty and the ecology of how it all came to be and how nature works together. I also don't love hiking. In fact, I hate it. And while I love the water more than most things, I'm actually happiest and most connected to water when I'm in a man-made pool. I'm just being honest. I'm not here to lie to you. And as someone who considers themselves very spiritual, the spiritual ego might tell me that that's not good enough, that I need to like really be one with nature and to appreciate it as my mother. Yeah, well, I appreciate all it does for me. And yes, I've hugged my number of trees, laid in the grass and looked up at the sky and marveled, right? But I'm just not the person who's going to go on a mountain hike and call it spiritual. That's just not me. However, the pure intention and action of being outside and breathing in air that isn't circulating through your home and air vents is so crucial. So not only to your body, but to your soul. Our souls are constantly searching for remembrance and for familiarity. It knows nature because it's a part of nature. I know that sounds really deep, but if you really think about it, it's true and it's so simple. That's why when we're outside, stress tends to just like melt away almost immediately. It's why it invigorates our energy levels when we're close to passing out from exhaustion, how it has the ability to lift a bad mood and can even make breathing easier. The fresh air expands the lungs, you know? And while it's easy to sit inside and journal away and read our books and watch our shows and sit by the fire, make a cooked meal and clean our house and organize our closets and drink our coffee in our favorite chair and call it soul work, these things are true, but we have to remember to step outside of our four walls and breathe in what was actually intended to be our home. And you don't have to be super outdoorsy to appreciate this. We've clarified that in my outdoor confessions. You just have to be human and a bit willing. So that's my hot take, you guys, on spring cleaning the mind, body, and soul. I hope it was even just a little bit helpful, and I hope that it resonated. I hope I didn't ramble too much. I may have. The first episode back is always the one that takes some getting used to. And before I close out, I just wanted to say that you also don't have to dedicate yourself to bettering yourself to be a full, amazing human. You can also just spend your time existing and learning and integrating as you go. Healing and becoming super self-aware takes a lot of work, a lot of grit, and a lot of patience. And I get that it's not the priority for everyone. And I just want to remind you that if you're doing it, it makes you no better or less than. Whichever you choose is the right equation for you. Same with the ones in your life. If you're dedicated to the work, try your best to not force your partner or your family member or best friend to meet you right where you're at, if that's not what resonates for them. Take me and Jonathan, okay? I spend probably 3 hours of my mornings unleashing limiting beliefs, deep dive journaling, reading, pulling cards to better learn myself and my intuition. Jonathan spends his mornings playing with our dog and reading headlines, drinking his coffee and listening to music. My way is perfect for me and his way is perfect for him. And my hope is that we can still like just all be able to lift the shame spiral and the should spiral and to make it extinct. I'm so over it. Because the only thing that matters, like the only thing, is that we're conscious enough to know what makes us happy, what lights us up, to be able to connect to who it is that we innately are without the outside noise, and that we're taking care of ourselves. So I'll leave this here on that note. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so happy to be back. I have so much I'm ready to share with you. And I'm telling you, this is going to be the most vulnerable, packed season yet. I'm really in my unleashing era. Oh, you guys, that's my era. I figured it out. My unleashing era. Where I'm just like really, really ready to bear it all, you know, in hopes that I can just help even just one person. If my lessons and tribulations can make one person feel less alone, to feel seen, witnessed, understood, honestly, that's all I could ever ask for. So be sure to follow along on Spotify or to subscribe over on Apple Podcasts if you don't already, just to ensure that you get the latest episodes, which are released every Tuesday. And if you're feeling generous and you have the time, I'd be beyond grateful if you'd be open to leaving a quick rating and review on Apple or a rating on Spotify. I get that your time is your most precious asset. So I really appreciate you tuning in today, and hopefully I'll meet you back here next week for another episode. Talk soon and be good to yourself.